Near the city of Joliet, the Brandon Road Lock conveys barges and other small vessels around a dam in the Des Plaines River. A horn sounds at the Army Corps of Engineers-operated lock as a barge and its tugboat prepare to enter a gate, moving upstream or toward Chicago. Over the next half hour, the downstream gates open, the barge carrying sand and other materials is maneuvered in, and eventually water bubbles in and the barge rises, rubbing against the lock walls. Eventually, the upstream gates open and the barge and tug are on its way. Jennifer Caddick of the Alliance for the Great Lakes says the Brandon Road Lock is another choke point where changes could be made to make it harder for invasive species to ride in with the barges and move between the Mississippi River and Great Lakes basins. Caddick says underwater electric barriers just 10 miles upstream at Romeoville, Illinois, are not fail-proof.
There are some scenarios where fish can, even when the barrier's on, can move through. So this is a great opportunity to add on a few additional layers as the region sorts out that longer-term permanent solution to this problem.
Caddick says a bill now in Congress could lead to water guns being installed below the lock to make it harder for Asian carp and other species to swim upstream, or sound could be added to deter the fish. It's also possible to flush clean water into the lock as the barge passes. And none of these wins the endorsement of American Waterways Operators, the Barge and Tugboat Owners Trade Group. Vice President Lynn Munch says, sure, look at the Brandon Road Lock, but...
How do you continue to move transportation through there effectively and efficiently during construction in such a limited space?
Munch says there's time to think about a solution because she contends the electric barriers and other controls have kept the carp in check. Munch also re-raises a red flag about some of the science of tracking Asian carp. She says relying too much on findings of the carp's DNA in water is a problem.
We have a lot of concerns with how the eDNA has been used because eDNA does not mean there is a fish there.
Not surprisingly, environmental DNA scientists defend the reliability of their findings.
This is our centrifuge that pushes the stuff we don't want down to the bottom of the tube.
At Notre Dame University, lab technician Krista Gantz describes part of the process for finding eDNA in water samples.
There are proteins and humic acids and things that weigh more, so we'll have that hopefully down at the bottom, and then we'll have our DNA and liquid at the top.
Professor David Lodge directs this lab and Notre Dame's Environmental Change Initiative. Lodge says the findings of carp eDNA almost always mean a live fish has been there, and not, for example, ridden in dead on a barge.
It's dead, it's going to be consumed and eaten, it's going to dilute. So it's possible, but it's not a very probable explanation for the repeated patterns in space and time of the detections of silver carp.
Lodge also says researchers are getting better at expanding the number of species whose DNA can be tracked in water and figuring the number of organisms that are there. Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.